Last week saw the biggest global share market sell-off since February. US shares lost around 4% and many other major markets in Europe and Asia, including here in Australia, lost 5% or more. Michael Leander is our regular Monday finance commentator. Michael, hello there.
Morning, Fran.
US markets did stage a solid rebound on Friday, Michael. What drove that?
Yeah, look, the S&P 500 up 1.4% and the NASDAQ, the tech-heavy index, bounced back even more, 2.3% up. Of course, that was after very large falls earlier in the week. There was a combination of factors. Bargain hunters are always in there looking for battered stocks to buy. But there were some very strong earnings results for some of America's biggest banks, showing that the economy there is still very strong despite interest rate rises. Wells Fargo, for instance, reported nearly a third increase in its earnings, JP Morgan up 25% and Citi up 12%. So very strong earnings growth there for those big banks. The rebound was modest, though, as I said, compared to the carnage earlier in the week, which saw one-day falls above 3% for the first time that we've seen those kind of one-day falls since February.
And many analysts are warning investors that investors haven't seen the last of these falls.
No, that's right, because the key driver of last week's falls were fears over the US trade war and also rising interest rates. Now, the trade war is not going away. No sign yet that any increase in the most recent tariffs, which is scheduled for the end of the year to go from 10% tariffs on hundreds of billions of dollars of Chinese imports up to 25% taxes. There's no sign that will be averted. We've now seen the Saudi stock market plunge as much as 7% yesterday, finishing down 3.5% in Sunday trade there. And that's after Donald Trump threatened retaliation over the presumed murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. If Saudi oil supply gets caught up in any way in trade in sanctions or tariffs around that dispute, then that could cause market chaos. Perhaps the bigger threat, though, is the unwinding of the very loose monetary policy in the US that helped keep the world's biggest economy out of a depression during the global financial crisis. We've now seen it go from 0% interest rates now up to 2 to 2.25%, with several more rate rises expected in coming months. Moreover, the Fed is now letting as much as $50 billion a month of bonds mature without rolling them over. So instead of quantitative easing, we've now got a process dubbed quantitative tightening, taking money out of the economy. Hassan Tevfik, an investment strategist with MST Financial, says the combination of the Federal Reserve unwinding quantitative easing and Donald Trump's tax cuts and spending will continue to push bond prices lower and interest rates up.
The Fed's going to be a smaller owner of the US Treasury markets. The Chinese central bank is going to be a smaller owner of the US Treasury market, and that's already happening. And both those things are happening against the backdrop of one of the biggest fiscal stimulus packages we have seen in an economy which is already growing at a pretty strong rate. You've got huge fiscal stimulus. How are you going to pay for this? Well, you're going to have to issue more bonds. So bond issuance is going up and accelerating at a time where bond demand is actually contracting.
That's Hassan Tevfik from MST Financial. Michael, why do bonds often, though, have such a strong influence on share prices?
Well, Fran, it all comes down to how you price investments, and you price them based on an assessment of risk and reward. Now, as the reward for holding risk-free assets like US government bonds goes up as interest rates rise, then investors also need to see higher returns from riskier investments like shares. The riskier the asset, the higher return you need. So for any given prediction about earnings, you need a lower price when you buy that asset in order to get that higher return. And of course, tech stocks are particularly risky. Their earnings potential is very high, but very uncertain. And now investors want an even bigger premium, in other words, a lower price to buy those stocks, to compensate for that risk. As Hassan Tevfik explains, US government bonds are a key risk-free investment, and that is why they are the baseline for pricing other assets.
The bond market is the main competing asset class for the equity market. So when bond yields are high, they tend to be attractive for investors. Just based on pure valuation, some parts of the market are more sensitive to rising bond yields relative to other parts. And within our own equity market, it tends to be the companies that are paying very big dividends, those companies which are not growing very fast at all, and also those companies that are sitting on lots of debt. So of course, as the cost of debt goes up, and that's what happens when government bond yields rise, those companies sitting on a lot of debt could actually see their own profits be impacted, or their future profits be impacted. Periodically, as investors reassess the prospects for the bond market, they're going to continue to drop out. And I think we've had a clear case of that over the last 6 weeks or so. So it won't be the last eruption. Again, I don't think you're going to have a Krakatoa type of eruption where you can hear it and you can feel it far, far, far away. I think it's safe to bet you're going to get more of these mini type of eruptions coming through.
And Fran, with the US Federal Reserve set to raise US interest rates again in December and probably 3 or 4 times again next year, we are likely to see more of these mini eruptions. The question is, do we get the Krakatoa or do we just get a little bit of rumbling?
Okay. US companies are reporting their earnings. We just heard Australian companies are set to face their investors at AGMs this week.
Yeah, and it's going to be difficult for some of these Australian companies as AGM season ramps up. This is the chance shareholders get to vote on their boards and the all-important remuneration reports. Now, if a quarter of votes are cast against a company's remuneration report for 2 years in a row, then shareholders can vote to spill the board. Now, there's some relatively uncontroversial AGMs this week, such as Origin and CSL, but the big focus is on Telstra's AGM tomorrow. The company's share price is down around 40% over the past year or so, and the AFR reports that industry super funds are gearing up for a mass no vote against its remuneration report, and other proxy advisors are also recommending big institutional investors to vote against the remuneration report, meaning it is likely to get a first strike against the remuneration, particularly of Chief Executive Andy Penn, due to get fixed salary of $2.3 million and bonus payments totaling $2.1 million, despite that share price fall.
Okay. The main economic data due out this week are the September job figures. What can we expect to see?
We've got jobs out on Thursday. That's the, as you say, the September figures. NAB's forecast is for 30,000 jobs to have been added over the month and a steady participation rate. That's the proportion of people looking for work or in the jobs market. And that would combine to knock unemployment down to 5.2%, reasonably strong result there. And just what the Reserve Bank thinks about these kind of employment numbers will become clearer when the Deputy Governor Guy DeBell speaks about the labour market on Wednesday. And just as an overseas data, we get Chinese GDP data for the September quarter out on Friday.
Okay. And just briefly, how are our local markets poised to start the week?
Well, despite that Wall Street bounce, the ASX SPY 200 futures are down 0.9% at 5,803, so we're likely to see a fall on the local market at the open. The Australian dollar, though, holding firm just above 71 US cents, Fran.
Michael, thank you very much. Michael Yander, the ABC's senior digital business reporter and our regular Monday commentator.